Preffy Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 30th Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. Today I'm with Catherine Stewart, director of While You Were Looking. So Catherine, that's your first film, but you come from TV series. We discussed yesterday during the Q&A. So why did you decide to tell this story that is also, let's say, in the structure, could be similar to TV series because it's an ensemble film?
In South Africa, we didn't really have a film industry. It didn't exist. And so if you wanted to make a film, you just despaired because you didn't know how to raise the money and there were no producers and there was no map. We didn't know how to do it. And so what happened in 1994 is that South African television boomed because people wanted to see their own stories. And so there started being a lot of drama series developed. And what was nice is that because there was no film industry and people wanted to be creative and tell stories in unique ways, that in television, doing drama series, it wasn't like it is in America. Each episode was viewed as a work of art for the director. And so even though it was television, it wasn't like a soap opera with lots and lots of directors. It was quite precious. And as a director, I was very grateful because I would be given 2, 3, 4 episodes of a drama series, but I could rewrite the script, I could polish it, I could cast it, I could treat it like my own little film. And so, in fact, I had a lot of practice, even though it was television, creating episodes as beautiful as I could. And the style of shooting, it wasn't like television with multiple cameras. It was on location. It was a single camera. And the director got to control the edit as well, and the sound and the music. So in a way, it was a very good training for directing. And you get practice because the director is always the least experienced person on set. Even if you've directed for 20 years, you direct one film a year, but everyone else on the film set works year in, year out from one production to the next. So you're always, you are the leader and the person with a vision, but you're always the most inexperienced person. And so I think it helped me a lot to have done those television episodes because I could practice and make mistakes and see my mistakes. And you don't learn until you do it and you see that something doesn't work, and then you're in the edit and you have to find a solution. And so then you cut and cut and cut and you have conversations with the editor, and all of that is learning, and you come up with ways, and then the next time you direct, you do it better on set. So I'm very grateful that I had all that time to practice and make these drama series. Not all television is like that. Sometimes it's a big machine and you just show up on the day and you direct and then you walk away.
Especially big production, you're not allowed to edit stuff. You have to follow some rules, let's say that.
Yeah. And then I've also worked as a writer. So I've created some television drama series, which is very nice because then you're inventing a world and characters. And again, you get to practice because you don't just write one story, you write many episodes, and so you practice writing and storytelling. So it's all really the same craft. So it was good practice. So this is my first feature film, and I'm so excited and grateful that I got this opportunity and that I was able, I think, to do more because of my other experiences. Otherwise, it's overwhelming. You think, how on earth do you direct a film?
Yeah, you made me think about, I was talking to another director like once at the festival, and she said, never show that you're afraid. Like, you have to pretend you're in charge and you know what you're doing, because they will, like, smell the fear.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, being a director on set, it's like you are the mother, you are the father, and it's your family, and they look to you to see what happens next. What did you think? What do you want different? And so you hold everybody together and you comfort everyone and you give them support and nurturing. I was saying to someone, the other funny thing about directing is you have it all in your head, but you're completely helpless. You don't do anything yourself. You're disempowered. You can't. You're not doing anything. And so all you do is you collaborate with other people to make something that is bigger than any of you. And when you're on set, you talk to the art department, you talk to the actors, you talk to the cinematographer, you talk to everybody, try to explain what's in your head. And then they have to do it, and you do nothing. And the moment you say action, the director does nothing. Everyone else is doing their job and pressing their buttons and acting and speaking and moving and pushing the camera, and the director does nothing. So you are the most helpless person. You're like a person with no arms and no legs, and you need other people to create something. So it's such a delicate balance of respecting people and loving them and welcoming what they offer you, because you know that without them you have nothing. So you need to always be nurturing that relationship. It's a very strange job.
I don't know if I could do it. Would you give us like a brief introduction of your film? I want to hear it from your words to for our listeners.
It's a story, it's three stories, three love stories of people in the course of about a week in Cape Town in South Africa who are looking for love and truth, and inevitably they find out more about themselves than they do about the world around them. So each of the stories is about a person looking for something, looking for an adventure, looking for a relationship, looking for the truth about something, but always the truth that the person finds out is about themselves. That's a common theme. But obviously the stories are about the gay and lesbian community. So there's a story about a married lesbian couple who are in their 40s, middle age. They've been married for many years, and the one starts to suspect that the other one is cheating on her. And her journey is one which is, obviously she's trying to find out the truth, is her partner cheating on her? But what's interesting is not that. What's interesting is her journey within herself, how she is going to manage the situation. And on her journey, she discovers more about her own strength and her own capacity than, in fact, about the relationship. The other strand is the two married lesbians have adopted a daughter, and the lesbians, one is mixed race, and the one is a white Jewish woman, and they've adopted a black girl. So there are issues of race and class and identity. The white mother is learning Xhosa, which is a black African language. Her partner speaks Afrikaans and isn't learning Xhosa, even though the daughter comes from a Xhosa culture, and she doesn't speak Xhosa because she's being raised in this affluent English-speaking environment. So the daughter's search for her identity, it starts with her getting an afro. She had her hair straightened, and she takes out the straightening and takes out her weave, and she's trying to get back to her roots. And her mother says, well, what roots? What roots? Because she's adopted. Where do you come from? You don't even speak the language of your cultural group that you could have grown up in. And so she goes on and she's heterosexual. She's in a relationship with a boy. And so she's not following her mother's sexual orientation. And so she goes on an adventure, and she meets someone in a club who turns out to be not the person she thought they were. And then that leads her into a whole nother world, which is more probably like her birth parents' life. But it's a whole other planet, and it's a strange universe that she doesn't know. And then the third strand is about a... It's a sad story. It's about an aging white man who was a left wing supporting the struggle against apartheid, and he's a gay man, and he had a love affair with a young black boy when he was younger, who he protected from the police when he was a revolutionary. And now that he's getting older, he looks back on that affair with nostalgia, and he wants to know what happened to this young boy that I was in love with, who left in the middle of the night, and he never saw him, and he doesn't know what happened to him. So he searches for him. And it's a search for the love of one's youth and the ideals of one's youth. And in many ways, it represents South Africa, which has come to a place of their present. And you think that we've solved so many problems, so many racial problems and political problems. And yet, We're a young country. We're like a teenager. So we've solved problems and we think we know everything. But as the film progresses, you realize that there's a lot we don't know about ourselves, about our society, and a lot of our issues that are not the same. They're not as clear as they were in apartheid, but they're much more complicated.
That's what I was thinking, yeah, that this story is a sad story, but it also helps you to guide us through, let's say, the contradictions of the country, because as you said yesterday, legally, everything is allowed. You can get married with your partner, you can adopt children, but still there are, let's say, the same problems that we have here. I mean, for this couple, at least, the black guy doesn't want to show his past because he's in a political situation or a work situation where even though everything would be legal and technically, theoretically accepted, still, it's the same thing. And that will eat me the most. I mean, because you're by law, you're allowed. So technically, there would be nothing wrong with it.
And that, in a way, is about culture, because culture and the hegemony of culture, which is the dominant culture, is so much more powerful than law. And you think if you have the right legally to get married and adopt children and have babies and be homosexual and be whatever you want. But in fact, human beings, we still create these hegemonies of what is acceptable and what gives you access to power. So it's legal to be a homosexual and be free and be a full member of every part of society. But that doesn't mean that the people in power don't prejudice you. And society doesn't discriminate, even if it's illegal to discriminate, because human beings, they make their own culture. And I suppose culture is a living thing. It's not something that the law can dictate. So the law says this is the way it should be, but that doesn't mean that that's how it is among human beings, because human beings, we're strange. And we create our own norms. And it's often said in South Africa that we must respect customary law because we're so many different cultures. Hmm. And each culture has a different way. So some of the cultures in South Africa have polygamy, where you can have many wives. Hmm. And some of the cultures have all sorts of things that are not Western culture. And South Africa tries to say we respect all cultures. But what do you do then when one of the cultures is patriarchal or discriminatory, and yet the Constitution says you cannot discriminate, but the Constitution also says you will respect all cultures? So there's a contradiction there.
Yeah, well, one last thing is that I couldn't help but discussing what your producer said yesterday. She said that we'll kind of envy you because even if everything, you know, the law like allows us to get married and adopt, so we're in a better situation than you in Italy, but still you still have something to fight for and technically we have nothing.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
It's like the legal, the right, the ideal of a perfect society is written down in law, and you think, fantastic, we've achieved it. But actually, if you haven't brought all of society along with you, then it's not a living reality. It's still an idea. And if it's not a living reality, then even the lawyers and the judges and the shopkeeper doesn't hold those values, then it's not really a real thing. And yet, what do you fight for? And it doesn't motivate people when you're in a struggle, then everyone bands together and they fight for something. But if you've already achieved everything you can achieve, it's hard to get people to continue to fight the good fight, and I think it'll happen. It'll just take longer, and it's a less clear struggle, because it's almost as if the Constitution and the law has to seep down into people's minds in a way that's accepted. And it's vulnerable because there's always the risk that actually, no, there will be a movement that says, no, we don't want this, and they can change the Constitution, which we also showed in the movie where the men were saying, if we have 2/3 majority, we can change this Constitution that we don't like. And that's possible.
Yeah.
So a constitution, you win it, but it's still vulnerable because it's a living thing that human beings keep inventing.
So in a way, when we will, hopefully, I think it will happen, we will reach, let's say, the status in which South Africa is now, maybe it will be more stable. That's what you mean, because it will be, we will have fought for it so that it's in people's mind and culture and not only in the law. That's what you want to.
Yes.
Want.
Yeah, if the majority of the people in the country believe in the values in the constitution, then it's supported by the culture that's living. But if the majority of the people disagree with the constitution, it's a very fragile institution.
Grazie, Catherine. Thank you so much for this interview, that it's more of a discussion and a chat, and I'm very happy that I met you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.